Welcome to Geared for Growth. I'm your host, Mike Mortlock from MCG Quantity Surveyors. Today, we're talking everything property management, or specifically how to make sure you're hiring an experienced one. The property management industry lost a lot of personnel during COVID, and our guest, Cassie Nancaro from DPN Property, she's the general manager of their property management division, gives us some insights into the shifting sands in the property management space. She shares her insights into how to make sure you're hiring a property manager with experience and the difference between, say, the forward-facing people like the business development managers to some of the back-end people and the differing roles, and why it's important to make sure that you're not being handed off to a junior. She gives us some great tips on maximizing the performance of your asset, some cautionary advice on penny pinching based on the lowest fee, which I certainly don't recommend, and also what questions to ask a property manager to make sure that they are the person that's right for you, who has great answers to questions like what is their arrears policy and things like that. It's an awesome interview with Cassie, and I'm sure all property investors will get something out of it. Here's Cassie. Cassie Nancaro, thanks for joining me on Geared for Growth.
Thanks, Mike. Happy to be here.
I'm really pleased that you're here, because there's a few key things that I think we need to talk about. You opened my eyes to some things off air that I really want to share with the audience in and around property management and making sure that we're getting an experienced property manager to look after our portfolio. Now, one thing that you shared with me is that, of course, we know the world is different post-COVID. I think it's going to be one of those things that perennially we'll talk about it as, you know, it's like BC, AD sort of thing. Before COVID, the property management industry was different to what it is now. And I want you to share what's changed. What do investors need to know?
Well, a lot has changed, Mike, and it's really important for people to understand the changes so that they can make decisions that help them with their property management services. Post-pandemic, we've had 30% of property managers leave the industry. So that's a lot of experience. And that's happened due to a number of reasons. It was a really tough industry during the pandemic. There was a lot of knee-jerk and snap legislative changes which helped tenants and landlords. It was tough on property managers, though, across the whole of Australia, not just specific to any state. There's been a lot of legislative changes since the pandemic, which has drastically increased the administrative load on property managers, and a number of states have changed their licensing requirements, which is only a good thing for the industry, but it's also been onerous for people who have been a little bit burnt through the pandemic. So what we've seen is a number of property managers and a lot of experience leave the industry. What that means is there's gaps in businesses that need to be filled, and in some cases, they're being filled by inexperienced people who are being thrown in the deep end and not getting the training and mentorship that they probably should be from an experienced person in the business.
Mm. One thing that you kind of got me thinking about is that anyone that knows the property management industry knows about what they call BDMs, or, you know, business development managers is not a PM term, but maybe a decade ago, you didn't necessarily hear about those BDMs. It was like, you know, you talk to your property manager. But I think the industry has realized that there is a skill set to going out and pitching for the business that is different to the day-to-day management of the property. So it begs the question, if there's an agency that has a really good BDM, but their experience is lacking elsewhere, like how do we tell? How do we know? The BDM might be selling us on a great service, but then once you sign up, they're presumably disappearing off to go to the next sort of listing presentation.
Yeah, look, that's a really good point, Mike. And it is something that anyone who is looking for property management services should ask. And BDMs definitely have a place. They're excellent at being able to service those inquiries and to give people a high-level view of the fees and the service that they can expect. A BDM most of the time is not a property manager, and the BDM is definitely not the person who will be managing the property on an ongoing basis. So the way that I would suggest that landlords protect themselves and make sure that they have a complete understanding of the business is ask to meet the property manager who will be looking after their investment. I would also ask to find out how their office is structured, if they have juniors or trainee property managers, and what input and extent they would be having into the property. And making sure that they have a senior property management or a mentorship program across their portfolio to make sure that their property is not going to be managed by a junior in the office or have important parts of the management process looked after by someone who they've never met before and they don't know anything about.
Yeah, look, that makes sense because I've been to doctors before and they say, look, this is the work experience kid or what is essentially a doctor in training. I don't mean to undermine them, but they say, you know, can they sit in the corner? I'm like, yeah, but if I need to get cut open, like the most I want them to do is hold the tray, you know. People don't necessarily ask those sorts of questions with property managers, do they? I've never heard someone say, look, I want to know who's my day-to-day person and if you've got juniors, what role do they have? Do you think property managers would be open to answering that?
Absolutely. Unless they have something to hide, of course. Mm. And it's actually a good point to lead into another part of the industry that has come about. It's a little bit of a concern. There is a number of businesses offering extremely low bargain basement fees. They have no presence online in relation to individual people. Anything you do to search them just goes back to like a landing web page. There's no about us with staff profiles or anything like that. And if you can find any ads for their properties on, say, any of the platforms where you would normally look for a rental property, there's no names and it's a 1300 number to call. To me, that's a red flag. You're always going to have property managers who will look and work in those businesses, but they're probably overseeing quite a large area. These businesses tend to run across multiple states and offer unbelievably low fees. So obviously for an investor who wants to maximize their return, that's an attractive part of the equation. However, it equates to sometimes only a cup of coffee or two over, you know, your fees for the week, but the damage that could be done to the property and to the investor's investment experience and their bottom line could be huge, just based on the fact that, without going into details of the types of businesses, we've managed a number of properties that have come from businesses like this. Everything's outsourced. Everything. So they may have some... Sorry, Mike, what were you going to say?
Oh, no, I interrupted you. I apologize.
No, that's
but there was one big name that actually I think went into liquidation, which we can probably mention here because they don't exist anymore. But are you talking about those sorts of businesses?
Yes, I am. Yeah. And the businesses that will offer, you know, like a ridiculously low flat rate fee per week. There's no evidence that you can find of who is actually showing these properties and who is going in to do the routine inspections, how they're building relationships with contractors in the area so that, again, there's a continuity of service and people who are going in and out of an investment property so they will notice things if they go into it again the next time. So all of those things matter over the course and the life of an investment property, especially when you are trying to maximize your return. If the property is falling into more and more wear and tear and disrepair because of just the lack of care of the, you know, inspecting property managers, little bits and pieces of maintenance not getting done, then you have this downward spiral of where the property becomes unbelievable for this market. I know. Let's just say the rental income would plateau, not reduce, and your quality of tenant will get worse and worse, which makes the problem in the property worse and worse.
Yeah, look, I would argue if you're looking to maximize return on your investment property, the way to do that is not by going for the cheapest property manager. I would be more inclined to go on the premium side of things because the levers that you guys can pull are very, very significant. And, you know, there have been so many times where people have blocked us from inspecting their property because the tenant won't fix a tap or a fly screen. You just kind of think, if that tenant got really creative, how many times more money could they cost you than the cost of that repair in an afternoon? It's a factor.
Absolutely.
It's a factor of massive, right?
Yeah, it is. It's exponential.
So what's happened to the property market? You talked about we lost 30%. We're engaged in a little bit of a race to the bottom. People are not necessarily either seeing the value of paying 7, 8, 10, 14% rather than 2 or 3%. Is it investors penny pinching? Is it property managers using cheap providers and trying to outsource? Are they not sharing their value? How do we get to this point?
Yeah, look, I think that there's probably a combination of all of those things and more, and individual experiences with, you know, a number of those things. Mm. The property management industry really needs to have a perception of professionalism, because what property managers do is vast. They, you know, basically they're lawyers, they're administrators, they're conflict resolvers, they're tradespeople. They are extremely, a good property manager is worth triple their weight in gold. They, I think that you have investors who have maybe paid a premium price and they're getting a service that is probably being provided by someone who isn't experienced enough to provide that premium price service. Or they've got staff in the office that are extremely overworked because they just can't replace vacancies in the team. That has happened in my team. We have had a number of times over the last couple of years where we've had to fill in for each other and plug holes, except we've done it with experienced property managers, not junior staff, because that just burns the junior staff and it creates untold issues for your brand damage and the investors themselves. Mm. So I think obviously with the tech offerings that are available at the moment, you're always going to have people like that company you mentioned before, who I think theory was in the right place. They wanted to break the industry and make it better. Unfortunately, it didn't quite go the way they had planned. And there's a number of tech offerings, I think, that are trying to, I guess, leverage off the back of those types of things and grab those parts of the market that don't see the value in property management. Mm. However, unfortunately, those landlords and investors that do try to go bargain basement shopping for services will probably find an extremely unsatisfactory and costly experience in the end.
Mm. Well, it's the old adage, you get what you pay for. I mean, I've seen evidence where, you know, the exorbitant extra that you pay does not necessarily stack up. But in general terms, if someone's doing it for half price, then it's because they've found a way to do less work and provide the service, right?
Yeah.
If we're not looking to the fee for ways to improve the performance of our asset, what are some core asset management strategies or tips, techniques to get the best performance out of our assets?
Again, it goes back to having an experienced property manager that's going to understand the investment side of the business, not just be transactional in what they're doing on a daily basis. So you biggest differences that you can make to the property is building relationships with your tenants as well as with the landlord. Happy tenants look after properties. Having properties that present well when they move in sets the scene for how they go moving forward. Making sure your property manager is undertaking those regular inspections, educating their tenancies when they're in the inspections to making sure the tenants understand what is expected of them in relation to the upkeep of the property. I mean, we don't tell people to put their clothes away and things like that. But we definitely help people if they need access to, you know, gardeners or things like that, to make sure that garden beds are being maintained, grass is being maintained, trees and hedges are being kept under control. If there are issues inside the property, we work with the tenant to rectify them. All of those things throughout the tenancy mean that you can review your rents and maximize your rental increases where appropriate, which at the moment is happening quite significantly. And it also means that if you have a vacating tenant, you don't have as much vacant time because you don't have to fix the property up between the tenancies. So most of the properties that we lease, because we manage the tenancies correctly during the tenancy process, and you always have your problem exits, but you have very little vacancy period. Most of the time we'll only have a day or two between. There's nothing to do to the property for the new tenant to move in. and is as close as practically possible under the legislation of wear and tear, there's nothing different between the new tenancy and when the last tenancy started, which means that the owner doesn't have to lose any rental income, which is the, you know, the biggest thing for them and their overall bottom line, and they don't have to do any wear and tear maintenance on the property as well.
Mm. Yeah, it makes sense that could be an ongoing thing rather than, okay, the tenant's left, let's reboot the process where we have to fix it up ready for the next person. I mean, of course, people are living in there and things wear out. It's going to need a
absolutely
clean or something. But we're talking, you know, we're talking a day offline maybe.
Exactly.
Rather than a week, right?
And look, just like the property management industry, there's no shortage of media stories about the shortage of trades at the moment. So whereas what used to take a week if you needed some holes in walls patched or some painting done and carpet replaced, we're now looking at 3 or 4 weeks for those items to get done.
Yeah, wow.
So that all costs money.
Yeah, that's a whole other episode. We talked a little bit about the rental market such as it is at the moment. It's appreciating, right? Rents are growing very, very rapidly, and that's something that we've been reporting on for the last little while. We are in a rental affordability crisis and things aren't going to get any better any soon. Now, of course, it is an opportunity for landlords to be increasing their rent, and the this is probably a political spin, but I believe the problem lies with politicians, not with property investors. They're actually the ones providing 100%
agree accommodation.
With you. Good, yeah. Good. We might get some hate mail for this, but I think disincentivizing investors has led them to exit the market, and all of this supply, the 1.2 million homes in 5 years, it's not possible. We don't, as you mentioned, we don't have the trades to do that, and and the builders are now building government infrastructure projects and doing repairs for natural disasters and those sorts of things. Anyway, I should get off my soapbox, but... Landlords are entitled to increase the rent, and now is probably a once in a decade opportunity where, you know, if you look at rents over the last 16 years, they really haven't kept pace with inflation. It's really just the pace of the uptick that's shocking people. But it's important to get the rental reviews right at this kind of point in the cycle, because, you know, people might be locked in for 6 or 12 months. What's your advice on how to get that right and to make sure that you're doing that in the ways that, of course, align with the legislation, but give you that flexibility to follow the market as it increases?
Correct. It's one of those parts of the process that, again, experience matters a lot. So you need to do a review of the market. You need to ensure that the landlord actually wants you to review the rent. Some landlords don't. We have a number of landlords that have said, no rent review this year. Cost of living is high. We want to reward our tenants for being with us for the last 6 years. And that's amazing. Not everybody, but it's amazing. Yeah. We do have long-term tenancies where, you know, there may be a 15 to 20% increase that would bring the property in line with the current market. However, they can negotiate with the landlord, and generally the landlord will meet somewhere in the middle. We find that because the jumps in rent at the moment are so high, that whilst there is the opportunity to have really, really high rent increases, most landlords won't approve the amount that we could actually do for existing tenancies, which is great. You know, I would love to see those media stories where it's not all about your hungry landlord. There's a lot of, you know, really lovely investors out there that are really reasonable and looking to increase their rental income, but also not at the complete expense of the tenant. The big rental upticks that we're seeing are more in a tenancy turnover, where we will then move the property in line with the market.
Mm. And that's an interesting point that you raise right there, because if it's turnover, it's a landlord that has lost pace with the market, and if they're one of your landlords, it's because they're doing that on purpose for that tenant. And I think the Australian Property Investor magazine shared in their survey that it was at least two thirds of investors would not jeopardize losing the tenant to pass on an increase, which
correct.
I think is missing from the media. And
it
the
is.
Data is also showing that the increase in costs that landlords have incurred in this interest rate cycle have actually been higher than what they've passed on in rent. But it's kind of like, well, you and I aren't writing the media stories, right? It's the
no,
people that
right.
want to talk about, you know, the ills of the industry. And certainly you don't go hard to find, you don't have to look hard to find examples of investors doing the wrong thing. But I think the vast majority of people actually feel for the plight of the tenant. And so how do you have that conversation with them? Obviously, you need to disclose to them, well, this is where the market is. Anything under mm-hmm. that is up to the goodness of your heart. Is that roughly how it works?
Pretty much. I mean, we're very collaborative with our landlords, so we won't do anything unless they know that we're doing that and they've given us instruction to do so. So if they do want to renew a lease and they do want to have a rent review, we will then get the market evidence through, you know, CoreLogic data, current local data in the area, what we're seeing in our portfolio, give them an estimate of what we think the market value is. We'll see how comfortable they are with that. And look, some landlords do want to go with that, and that's their prerogative. That's absolutely well within their rights to do so. But then we have the other landlords who will go, oh, that seems a little bit high. Let's knock $20 off that. And then that's also a good story for us to go back to the tenant and say the landlord's really happy with your tenancy. They'd love to see you here for another year. Unfortunately, as you can appreciate, the market has moved in an upward direction. This was the appraisal we gave them. However, they have reduced this by $20 or $30. Are you happy to stay on at this price? And most tenancies are, or they'll negotiate a little bit further.
Mm, yeah, I think that's such a nice way to have that conversation if that's available to you, right? And I think
yeah,
it's
it
really
is.
Important. It shows the importance of a property manager in being in the mix. You could easily just kind of say, oh, it's going up 20 a week, whereas your recommendation was 40. And the story is we were looking at 40 a week, but the landlord has requested for us to bring that down because they're happy with you. Like you think about the cost to the landlord as distinct from someone that's, you know, feels like they're in a negative relationship or, you know, is considering, you know, being late on paying or creating damage.
Yeah.
That's where I think the cost differentiation is kind of lost on both sides, right?
Definitely. Definitely. And again, that's where your experience really comes into play.
Mm. Now, when it comes to property investors in general and their attitudes to property managers, do you see a broad spectrum of people's expectations about what your role is? I'm sure you see people that consider you a rent collector and nothing else, others that really understand your value. I'm sure you get highly respected praise. I'm sure you get spoken to in terrible ways. I hope that's not true, but I suspect that happens. Where do you feel the property managers sit in that sort of situation?
Look, I think property management is a funny thing for people to understand if they haven't had anything go wrong with their property, because it is understandable for an investor to perceive their property manager as just someone who checks their property a couple of times a year, makes sure the rent enters their bank account, pays their bills for them, and if a tap's leaking or a doorknob falls off, they arrange to have it fixed. Mm. So from a sense, it's actually really good if landlords don't really understand what we do, because if they understand what we do, something's probably gone wrong with their property, or we're having a dispute with a tenancy, which is going to involve going to NCAT or, you know, whichever tribunal you are in, whichever state you're in. And that takes a lot of preparation, a lot of time, a deep understanding of legislation, and hopefully negotiating with the tenant and the landlord so that you don't get to a point where you're in front of a tribunal member having a decision made that's out of your hands.
Mm, yeah.
So from that perspective, you kind of want the property investor to understand what our benefit is to them if they ever need it. But you don't really want them to have an intrinsic knowledge of it.
Yeah, here's all the weaponry I have in my cupboard, but I keep it locked with the fond hope that I'll never have to open it.
Exactly.
So Cassie, if we can take all of your years of wisdom and put that into a succinct takeaway for the investors that are listening, what do you think are the most important takeaways, or if you could hold them at gunpoint with something from this naughty cupboard of yours and make them listen, what do you think they need to know?
Make sure they meet their property manager before they change agencies or appoint someone. Don't just get swept up by the BDM gloss. Make sure they understand who they're talking to and who will manage their property. Research the business that they're looking at appointing so they can make sure they understand the structure of the team and how they run their property management department, and ensure the fundamentals will be delivered by an experienced person, such as rent reviews, routine inspections and tenancy, and the most important, approving tenancies and tenancy selection.
Mm. I listened to a buyer's agent at the Real Estate Institute of Queensland's buyer's agent breakfast talking about interviewing property managers, because they work around the country and they need to put people into property management, and they will go and they will interview a bunch of them. And they said questions like, what is your arrears policy? He said, would stun you rigid. One particular person saying, oh, we normally let you know if it's been sort of 3 or 4 weeks and they haven't paid. And he was like, oh my gosh,
wow.
I've just found the property manager that I'm least likely to choose in this location. Is that something as well where you think there's kind of like a template of they should have really good answers to what happens if they're late on rent? What happens if they damage the property? What happens if we've got an extended vacancy period? And so when they disclose that their arrears policy was, yeah, we'll just let you know if it's been a couple of weeks, and they decided, okay, well, I know which property manager I'm never going to use, it kind of begged the question, they're using some sort of template perhaps, or maybe it's just all mental, but is it a good idea to have pre-prepared questions for your PM to say, what happens if they're late on the rent? What happens if they damage the property? What happens if it's been vacant between tenancies for 2 weeks and we're not getting the right bites? Would that be some good advice to
hit
the PMs with?
Absolutely. So a property manager to not know what their arrears process is, 100% they're outsourcing that process.
Right.
Which is something that you don't want. Property manager should know what their arrears process is, because they're the ones that should be running that process. They should be intimately aware of every aspect of their portfolio in relation to things that could potentially cost the landlord money. Mm. So absolutely, arm yourself with questions such as, what's your arrears process? How often will you communicate these things with me? That's another big one, because a lot of property managers will just run things in the background and they won't let the landlord know. So communicate how they would like to be communicated with and how often. Definitely make sure who is doing the routine inspections and who reviews all the results of the routine inspections and any subsequent repairs and maintenance that come from that. And definitely ask what their process of tenancy selection is.
Yep. Those are some great ones that I think everyone should be asking when they're looking at hiring a PM. And if I can throw in my 2 cents, it's one, don't go on fee. And two, if you have a good property manager, go to pamperapm.com.au, which is our way of giving back. Once a month, we give away champagne and a massage voucher, because it's a bloody hard job you guys are doing. Like you're sort of saying, you're a bit like a referee. It doesn't, you know, unless something goes wrong, you're kind of invisible, but such a crucial part of a property investor's success, not just that portfolio, but growing it as well. Cassie, I've learned a lot from you, and I'm sure the listeners have as well. Thank you very much for joining me today.
Thanks so much, Mark. It's been great.
Cheers.